So, good evening, my name is Richard. This is Over and Over and Over Again, and this is the World Cup 2023 match review. England have made it through to the quarterfinals of the World Cup just about by the skin of our teeth earlier on today in Brisbane. We did beat Nigeria on penalties in the end. It was a very long morning, a very tense morning, but England finally got the result that we needed. Maybe a little bit lucky, we'll get into that. We'll also look ahead to potential quarterfinal opponents. We'll look at some of the other round of 16 games that have already happened. So a lot to get through. It's all coming up. The other side of this, of course, our introduction with music from Pete Drake, of course, as always. Lioness, you come so far, but don't forget who you are. Your roots are yours, but also ours. Giving hope to rising stars. Lionesses, here we go. If you're not singing that song all day long, then I don't know. Anyway, good to see we've got our usual people in. Andreas, good to see you again. You okay today?
Yeah, good evening, everybody. I'm glad to be here and glad to talk about another win.
Just another win, yes, of course, indeed. And Amar, good to see you back as well. Obviously, you missed the last couple of shows. You've been busy, but back tonight. Good to see you. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. Yeah, relief, as you say, more than anything else. Fairest the margins, but yeah, hopefully onwards and upwards from here. But yeah, no, it's I've been good and looking forward to discussing it as ever with you guys. So let's do it.
Let's do it indeed. Terry's in the chat, as always, said, good evening, Richard. This should be a good one tonight. Yeah, well, hopefully it'll be a good one tonight. I mean, it's difficult to know where to start. So many things happened in that game, and equally, so many things didn't happen as well, kind of. It's that sort of situation, wasn't it, this morning? I mean, I think it was a mixture for me. It was a mixture between a below par England performance and a very, very good Nigerian performance on the day. And I think those two things combined probably made it the game that it was. We struggled to come to grips with Nigeria's physicality. We struggled to get to grips with the whole situation with the game, really, I felt. And, it was quite difficult to watch England struggling so much in a game of so important, wasn't it? I mean, Andreas, what did you make of it? Because, you know, we had to hang in there, didn't we? We had to fight for everything, and we've managed to get the result in the end. But it wasn't a great England performance, was it, today?
The situation in the knockout stage is totally different to the group stage. And you could see that the girls felt the pressure, this pressure of being out. If you make one mistake, you can be out. And it's difficult if you are the favorite in a match. If everybody says, you are the stronger team, you will win, you have to win. And the outsiders, Nigeria, they had nothing to lose. They were fighting for everything, and they could only win. And of course, they are out of the tournament now, but they won. They won the sympathy of the fans, of the spectators, and everybody says Nigeria had a great match, they played fantastic. Yeah, of course, they had no pressure. This was the different situation for both teams, and I could only see the highlights, but I saw that Rachel Daly had two chances, Alessia Russo had one good situation, but of course Plumtree for Nigeria hit the crossbar, had another good chance. Second half, they were close to scoring. Yeah, it was a hard piece of work, but you have to get through such matches if you want to win the tournament. And next Saturday, nobody will ask, how did you win? Did you win 6-0 or did you win in penalties? Yeah. You're still in and you're playing on Saturday. Nigeria is not playing on Saturday. So this is what counts. Of course, it could have been a better performance, but the resilience of the team was there, and they struggled. They had difficulties to overcome with the red card. So, all in all, as you said, we've got the result. If we lost in penalties, we would talk differently tonight. But that's the cruel thing in these knockout stages. If you get the result, everything was right. So we are happy tonight.
Yeah, no, of course, yeah, we are happy to go through. And I mean, you know, and like you said, you're right, in a knockout stage, nothing else really matters. It doesn't matter, you can play the best football ever, but if you lose the game, you're out and you've gone home. And if you can play the worst game ever, and if you sneak through, you're in the next round and you carry on. So, you know, we've got to be delighted with the result. And I thought there were some positives in the sense that, you know, we had a lot of adversity in the game to overcome. The fact that Nigeria played so well, we were down to 10 players, of course, for all of extra time and a little bit before that as well. So we had to battle against the odds in many ways in this game. And we managed to come through. We missed the first penalty as well in the shootout. So, you know, it wasn't going our way particularly for much of that game today. But we found a way to win. And successful teams do that, don't they? You know, you're not going to play well. In the Euros last year, we pretty much played well in every game, didn't we? With the exception of maybe the Spain game. Well, I wouldn't say we didn't play well in that game. Spain was just a very good team and we struggled a little bit in that game. But, you know, in this World Cup so far, we've played four games, and three of those four games, the performance levels haven't been at the level we expected. But here we are in the quarterfinals and we haven't lost a game. So, you know, we have to be pleased. I mean, Emma, what did you think of it overall? Because England was slightly fortunate. I don't think there's any doubt about that, is there, today?
Yeah, no, there's no question we are fortunate. We started off well, I mean, decently. You could set out the game plan. But after a while, it became apparent that Nigeria weren't going to be the opponent. You could see they were harrying England, forcing them to errors. There was no real passage or pattern to the play. We've become accustomed to watching under Serena, and they weren't able to really get the forwards involved in the game. And they were constantly being marked. And you could see Randy Waldrum and his team and had almost executed the perfect game plan in many ways. They, apart from one shot, a header from Rachel Daly and the effort she had from the corner, they largely limited to them to distant efforts from long range. And and that was largely down to the tactics from Nigeria, which were really impressive. And it became apparent as the game wore on that England were going to have to really dig deep and find we're going to have to really dig deep and find an extra gear to get through, which ultimately they didn't find. And that's ultimately why the game panned out as it did in the end.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly why it did pan out as it did. Terry says, in my opinion, England was rubbish, but I must admit, we did take four world-class penalties. Yeah, the penalties were good. We'll come on to penalties shortly, actually. We'll get to that as well. Terry says, England were bullied.
Yeah,
I agree. I thought the physicality of Nigeria is what completely unsettled us, didn't it? Pretty much from the start. We just never got to grips with it, did we? Yeah. And they frustrated us. They made it really difficult for us to get into our flow as we would normally do. And, you know, you've got to give them credit for that, because they had a game plan and they stuck to it and it worked almost to perfection for them, didn't it? Just until the penalties at the end when they couldn't quite manage to hit the target. But, I mean, obviously, there was a lot of kind of decisions in that game. I mean, Andreas, we'll start with the penalty that England were initially given and then not given by VAR. Personally, I thought in the end it was the right decision. It would have been a very, very soft penalty, wouldn't it? Let's be honest. There was minimal contact. You know, and it's almost like Rachel Daly ran into the back of the Nigerian defender a little bit, wasn't it? It was almost a little bit of 50-50. What did you make of that? Did you think that should have been a penalty, or do you think it was the right decision in the end?
It would have been a soft penalty, but it was contact. There was a contact. And maybe Rachel Daly made too much out of it. The way she fell down was a bit it looked like acting when she fell down. So if she just took the contact and fell, this would have made it easier to give a penalty for this. But with reviewing the situation or the scene on TV, I think the referee saw that she made too much out of this. And then the decision is it was not so much as she makes out of it. So no, I don't give a penalty. There was a contact, and for such situations, you have seen many situations in which the referee gives a penalty, and this decision stands. So it could have been, or could have stood this decision, and yeah, it would have been soft. But of course, this would have changed the match. You get the if we score then and have the lead. But,
It would have done, but then, you know, obviously Georgia Stanway was ready to take the penalty, and we saw the penalty that she took in the penalty shootout, so who knows if she would have scored? We don't know, do we? It would have been a totally different set of circumstances, but yeah. It was a big moment in the game, because, yeah, I think if England had scored and gone 1-0 up at that point, I think we would have gone on and won the game in 90 minutes without as many heart-wrenching moments as we had to experience. But yeah, it would have been a very soft penalty. I thought it was a soft penalty when the referee gave it initially, actually. And then you saw replays of it, and I'm thinking, well, I'm not really sure. I would feel really, really upset if that had been given against us and it had caused other place in a quarterfinal because it was such a soft decision. But, you know, sometimes VAR, we criticise VAR, of course we have, throughout the last few years because it's been, it hasn't really helped the game. But there are the odd occasions when it maybe gets something right and it does maybe come to the right decision. And I think on this particular occasion, although it went against us and it, you know, made the game a lot more tense than it might have been, I thought that was probably the right decision. I mean, Emma, what did you make of that penalty? Because obviously at first it was given and we thought, yeah, brilliant, we've got a great chance here. And then obviously we see replays and I don't know, I wasn't convinced it was a penalty, if I'm honest.
No, it looked as if also the foul started outside the box and continued inside. But I don't think that was any foul, just being a job marking. It was maybe a bit of a physicality in the end, but you could have understood that. I think you'd have felt aggrieved if that sort of decision was went against you. But yeah, I think that's what it's there for. Ultimately, it proved that when you looked at it again, I wasn't sure. But it was the right decision to overturn, and that's what it's there for, ultimately. And to eliminate, well, not eliminate howlers as such, but when you very rarely see the player penalties given for that. And yeah, ultimately, I think they came to the correct decision in the end.
Yeah, I think they did. And as disappointing as it was for us, because I was getting quite excited at the time when we were given a penalty, because at that time in the game, we'd been struggling a little bit. So it was a great, would have been a great boost for us. But yeah, I wouldn't have liked to have felt as though we got a very, very harsh penalty and it won us the game. I wouldn't really have liked that. So in a way, yes, at the time it was frustrating, but that's what VAR should be there for, to get those decisions right, I suppose. That's what it's about, isn't it? We've got Russ in the chat. He said, evening, friend. How are you doing, Russ? Hope you are well, my friend. Good to see you. Hope you're right. Hope you enjoyed the game. And, of course, the other big VAR decision was very, very late in the game, wasn't it? Lauren James, of course, the red card. Now, I think when you see replays of it, all replays look worse when it comes to decisions like that anyway, don't they? Because it slowed down. It looks a lot worse than what it was. And what I found a little bit, I'm not necessarily saying it was the wrong decision, because you can't go around stamping on players. You can't do that. That's obviously a wrong thing to do. But the referee saw it and gave a yellow card at the time. It wasn't like the referee didn't see it. She saw it and gave a yellow card. So I don't understand how then she can then change her mind, having seen it again, when she saw it in the first place. She saw it. She saw it happen. That's why she gave her a yellow card. So that was a little bit confusing for me. And VAR, again, look, I think you should look at this again. Should be a red card. But the referee saw it. So I don't know. I mean, what did you make of that, Andreas? I mean, I think it was a red card, let's be honest. You can't stamp on a player. And she did it intentionally. You could clearly see it wasn't an accident. She put her foot on her on purpose. So it should have been a red card. But because the referee saw it and gave a yellow, should that not have been the final outcome?
Yeah, she saw it, but not so... So clear, as you could see it in the replay, the TV pictures. Yeah. And I think when she watched it again and again, there was only one possible decision, a red card. And because it was not accidentally, and in a football match, you shouldn't stand on the back of your opponent. So if you do this and it does not happen accidentally, then it's a red card. And this, although it went against us, I think this was the right decision. And Lauren James has to learn from this. Of course, she's still young and the pressure was there. And I think it's her personality. She's not adult enough or mature enough. And it's typical for her. We often saw this in the league matches when it's not working as she wants it, then she sometimes forgets that she has to defend or go back and help the team to defend. And it's so it doesn't work. And this is another situation for it's don't misunderstand me, but it's a little bit childish reaction from her, and we don't see this on the pitch. So the red card was the right decision. She has to learn from this, and she's now out for the rest of the tournament. It hurts us because she was very, very good against China. We will miss her in the next matches. But she has to learn and she has to grow up and get adult.
And I think that's what it was. She's still a young player, and I think, you know, she's come into this game in such great form. A lot of, again, you mentioned pressure before, Andreas, and I think there was pressure on her to perform again, and it was a frustrating game for her because that defender basically marked her out of the game for the whole of the 90 minutes, didn't she? She didn't give her a kick. Lauren James had no impact on that game whatsoever, and I think it was a bit of frustration. Yes, she's got to be more mature than that in those circumstances. She's got to be. She's got to learn from this now, because it very, very nearly cost us the opportunity to carry on in the World Cup, didn't it? And it still might do going forward, because she's suspended and she's been an important player for us. So it still could end up being a big decision and a big mistake that she's made. But, you know, it is important that she gets support and learns from this, because, you know, it's no good now getting a pile on social media, whatever it was. She's made a mistake. She knows she's made a mistake. I'm sure she regrets it now. And luckily, it didn't cost us today because we got through. Whether it'll cost us in future games when she can't play, we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, I'm not saying it wasn't a red card. It was a red card. I just don't like it when a referee sees an incident, gives a decision, and then is talked out of it by other referees watching on a screen. And that seems to be what happened. I suppose that's what VAR was meant to be for, perhaps. I don't know. But anyway, the right decision, again, was Reece, wasn't it? As Terry said there, to be fair, I thought VAR sort of worked today. Yeah, I agree. It did sort of work today, didn't it? It got the two big decisions kind of right in the end, even if it was maybe strange the way that it came to it. I mean, Emma, what did you make of that whole red card thing, Lauren James and whatever? Because you had a great tournament. It's such a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, it was just, I think, the frustration ultimately got the better of it. She was being marked out of the game. She wasn't able to influence the game as much as she had done in against Denmark and against China, for example. And ultimately, I think, it just got the better of her. She wouldn't know. It was naive. It was a bad reaction. It brought back memories of a quarter century ago when, of course, David Beckham infamously kicked out Diego Simeone. But I think there was an overreaction. There's no doubt. As I said, she'll learn from it. There was no doubt in my mind when I saw it again that it was a red card. I didn't know if the referee did see it, as you say. I don't recall, but I think if the referee did see it for us, he should have given the red straight away. But again, VAR proved its worth, and ultimately the right decision was reached. And she is only 21. I don't know whether they'll still wait to see if it's a 3-game ban. I think likely it'll be a 3-game ban for violent conduct. But yeah, it's a learning curve for her. And as you say, I know she shouldn't be vilified on social media just because she's made a mistake. You know, it happens, and she'll only be better off for learning from it. And she shouldn't be. It's just an overreaction. It didn't cost the team in the end, and people should not put her down for what she's done. But it was naive, and she'll move on from it.
Yeah, let's hope so. I mean, I do feel a little bit. I mean, touching on what Andrea said as well, that I don't think anybody's ever questioned Lauren James's ability as a footballer, because I think she's a very, very talented player, and I think my doubts over her always maybe attitude and her mentality. Certainly, it appeared that way. She appears to be a little bit arrogant. She appears to be, I don't know. I don't think she is, actually. She just comes across that way sometimes. She's very laid back, isn't she? It's like nothing seems to bother her on the pitch. She just strolls around, almost like strolls through the games, you know, and then she'll do something fantastic and score a great goal. But yeah, obviously, there is some issue there that she needs to look at. She can't react like that in the future. Again, she can't, because it's, you know, she got away with it to a certain degree today. And yeah, it's something that needs to be, she needs to look at herself, and hopefully she'll get the help that she needs to be able to put that behind her and move forward, because she is a great player and she's going to be an important player for England going forward as well in the next few years. There's no doubt about that. She's a brilliant, brilliant football player. And I do think we have to give her credit for that. LG's in the chat, and he says, as an African, I was disappointed because of too many aimless crosses in the England area. Mary Earps had relatively little to do in the whole game. England. I mean, to be honest with you, when you look at the stats, I think Nigeria only had 2 shots on target and England had 4. So when you look at it like that, England had more clear opportunities to score than Nigeria did, for all the great play that Nigeria put into the game. They didn't actually create, you're right, they didn't create too many opportunities. And Mary Earps didn't have a lot to do in terms of making difficult saves. 1 or 2 shot to hit the bar, another one hit the bar, did the top of the bar as well. But yeah, I kind of agree with that. I thought Nigeria didn't, for all the great play that they put into the game, all the great energy that they gave, they didn't really create a lot of clear opportunities to score. And unfortunately, in a World Cup knockout game, you have to score to go through. And, you know, they didn't really do enough, did they? I didn't feel in that game to score the goals that they would have needed to have done. I don't think we did either. We just seemed to have more. We had the clear opportunities. Russo's one in the first half. She should have done better with that when the defender
made it. Yeah, but that was only one chance.
Yeah. We had, there was a Daly one, as we mentioned before, Rachel Daly one from the corner, the volley, which was a good effort, but it was straight at the keeper, really, wasn't it? Probably anywhere else it goes in, probably. So, yeah, we probably had the clearer chances, but unfortunately, we didn't take ours either. So, but no, I kind of agree with that. I thought Nigeria didn't really create as many clear, good opportunities to score as their play maybe deserved. So, yeah, that's an issue they need to address maybe going forward if they're going to try and progress through tournaments in future, because they're always there when they're about. They just never seem to make it for a knockout game, do they, unfortunately, for Nigeria. But they certainly gave everything today. You can't criticise them at all because they were brilliant. John, Terry says there, Lauren J, LT, I suppose you mean LJ, has he never played for England again? All the BBC over the last two games went to her head. When it's not going her way, she's like a spoiled child. Yeah, I mean, she did react like a spoiled child. There's no doubt about that. But I don't know. I'm saying about never playing for England again. Of course, you should play for England again. You know, everybody should get another opportunity. You can't just bin someone off because of one mistake. Otherwise, no one had ever played for England more than once, would they? Let's be honest. Everybody's made mistakes. And she's made a mistake today. She knows she's made a mistake. And it's how she reacts to this now, isn't it? Whether she can play again in this World Cup or not, when she next plays for England in the future, we need to see a reaction to this, don't we, in a positive way. David Beckham, we've mentioned, he reacted positively to that, didn't he? He got so much stick, but look how his career grew on the back of that. He took that positively, yeah, didn't he? And if Lauren James does that, she could end up being one of the players we've ever had if she does a positive reaction like David Beckham did. But let's see, you know, we need to give her a chance. We can't just dismiss her now just because of that one mistake today, because she's been brilliant this World Cup. You know, she's one of the reasons we're where we are in the tournament anyway, to get to this point. So, you know, we can't be over the top with her. You know, she made a mistake today, yes. She needs to learn and move on, as Amar said, move on from this, and hopefully she'll grow as a player on the back of it. It might be the thing that makes her, that is the making of her, like it was with Beckham. Let's hope so, because I think she definitely deserves another chance anyway, for certain, another few chances to put it right. There is Serena should send her home.
No. Oh, come on. That's hard. Calm down, mate. Calm down.
She won't even be out there supporting her teammates. No, I don't think she was allowed back onto the side of the pitch when you sent her by. So I don't think it's not she wasn't supporting her. She wasn't allowed back onto the pitch again. So she wouldn't have been allowed on the pitch for the penalties because she's been sent off. So, no, she definitely shouldn't be sent home. If she can play in the World Cup again, I would play her again if she can. If we're still in it and she only gets a one-game ban or whatever it is. Yeah, let's not go over the top, really. Terry says, haven't heard nothing from Sawyer Hayes. I haven't heard what Emma Hayes made of it, no. But I'm sure Emma Hayes will be speaking to her on the telephone at some point today. I'm sure she has already, because she would have done. There's no doubt about that. Russ says, a bit of an overreaction. She had a poor game, but we went through. Yeah, exactly, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say she had a poor game. She was just marked out of the game. She wasn't given the opportunity to get into the game. We didn't give her the ball enough. Every time we did, the defender was there smashing all over the place. And in the end, she reacted, and that's what happened. But yeah, I agree. We can't go over the top. She's had a great tournament, and she's an important player for us going forward. And I personally hope that she only gets a one-game ban, we get through, and she can play in the semi-final. That's what I would hope for. That's her as well. She deserves to play in the later stage of the tournament because she's done so much to get us there. So, you know, let's hope that's the case. But anyway, we'll see how that works out. So, of course, you know, after 90 minutes, we were kind of relieved that we were still in it and it was 0-0 and we went to extra time. Extra time was a bit like most extra times, aren't they? Not a lot, really. And we've got the inevitable penalty shootout. I mean, Andreas, obviously, you know, you're German. You've got good experience in a penalty shootout. So you're really relaxed going.
Things have changed. Germany is no longer goes in a tournament. England wins penalty shootouts for the second time now after the finalissima. Yeah. So everything has changed. I think the extra time, as far as I saw it, nothing really important happened. We were down to 10 and we tried to not to concede and go to penalties, and Nigeria was not able to create the one and only chance that could decide the match. So I think both teams were a bit anxious that one single mistake brings you out of the tournament. So let's better not make a mistake and control the match. So and keep the chance for the penalties. when we all remember in May the Champions League semi-final, we would have been happy to go into penalties, not to risk too much. The players get more tired and everything. So yeah, it was just the waiting for the final decision, and then penalties are always nervy, and it's difficult to say you have won a match or lost a match just because of the penalty shootout. Normally it was a draw, and we were lucky this time. So yeah, and Georgia Stanley, she never misses a penalty. She scored many goals from the spot for England and for Bayern Munich, and this time even for her the pressure was too much. And then fortunately the pressure on the Nigerian players was even higher. I think African teams always have a problem in penalty shootouts. We saw this men and women. Is it the shooting techniques, or is it that they are not used to these situations? Fortunately for us. And then when you have the lead in the shootout, then something, or all things become easier. We were 1-0 up, 2-0 up, and so the pressure was growing and going for Nigeria. And once again, Chloe Kelly was the one to decide. She decided the Euro finals, she decided the Finalissima, and now the round of 16 of the World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, incredible, really. I mean, when you need someone who can take the pressure, Chloe Kelly is the one, isn't she? Because she's done it on a few occasions, as I just say. She gets those important goals in important moments. And she did it again. Brilliant penalty it was from her. You're right about African nations. It's funny because when I was watching the penalty shootout at work, that's the first thing that I said. You know, African nations have got a poor record in penalty shootouts. And it is interesting, isn't it, as to why that might be the case. Because, you know, is it because they're not used to taking them? Is it? I'm not sure. But you're right. I can't remember too many African teams ever winning penalty shootouts at World Cup. Men or women. I think you're right. I can't actually remember ever winning one. Obviously, their first two penalties didn't even hit the target, did they? I mean, I know Georgia Stanway didn't either, but at least their other four went in. They had two penalties in a row, didn't even hit the target. I mean, that is quite bad, isn't it, to be honest? Because, you know, even if the goalie, at least make the goalie save it. Don't put it wide. But thankfully, in the end, we kept our nerve. And we had four, as we mentioned before, we had four very, very good penalties, didn't we? Absolutely brilliant penalties. And, of course, Chloe Kelly won at the end, right in the top corner. Was what we needed at the time as well, wasn't it, to put us through. And, yeah, it was a relief, wasn't it? I mean, we've suffered, haven't we, a few penalties for England World Cups and championships and stuff. So it was nice, wasn't it, to win another one? Because, as we said, you know, we won the Finalissima on penalties. Even the men have won a penalty shootout in the last few years. So, you know, suddenly maybe we're getting better at them, aren't we? We seem to be getting better anyway, which is a good thing.
Yeah, I like the order was good as well. I mean, you stole your best penalty because you missed, but they put the pressure on and they missed as well. And whoever that stepped forward, I thought they might have put one or two of the more experienced players on the league, like Rach Daly or Katie Zellum was wanting to take a penalty. But I like the order, that was good. And they were all really good, confident penalties. And that's what they usually try to do is to try and at least test the keeper and get the shot on target. Yeah, it's not an easy thing to do to step up and take a penalty, but I thought they held the nerve really well. And we had the order. I don't know if it happens again later in the tournament, or if they do get a penalty, will they let somebody else take it? We'll see. But I mean, yeah, we held our nerve well. Ultimately, we scraped through, and hopefully, going forward, we won't need it again. But if we do, then let's see those potential penalty takers that stepped up. Could well retain the faith of Serena, but we'll wait and see what happens, I guess.
I mean, that may be a good thing, because if we do have to go for a penalty shootout again later in the tournament, at least we've got this good experience to look back on, and that's going to help us, isn't it, if it happens again? You know, and we've won our last two penalty shootouts as well anyway, as we said. So I think that, in a way, hopefully we can get a lot of positive from this anyway, that if we have to go penalties again. And yes, no. I'm a bit worried about Georgia Stanway, because although she scored the penalty against Haiti, she did miss the initial one and had to retake it and did score. So she's kind of missed two in this World Cup now. And that's a little bit of a worry. And it will be interesting to see if we do get a penalty in normal play in the next game, whether she does take it, because she was obviously the worst penalty taker today. Four players look like they got a better penalty technique than Georgia Stanway, so maybe someone else might take it, but I don't know. Knowing Serena, she won't change anything too much if it doesn't happen. So I would imagine Georgia probably will take a penalty again till we get one in the next game or whatever, but let's wait and see. We'll see what happens. Terry says, yeah, Nigeria have been taking penalty lessons from the USA. And they probably want USA penalties and thought, yeah, we can do that. We can do that as well. You know, you can put them over the bar, we'll do the same. Yeah, they definitely seem to have done that, don't they? LG says that we Africans like to be cured of penalties.
No, I don't know.
That's why we never win penalties. I don't know. I mean, obviously, there is some issue there, isn't there? I mean, to be fair, we can't talk being English because we've lost numerous penalty shootouts over the years. So it's not like we're any good at it. We've just suddenly become a little bit better because we've won a few now. So we're feeling a little bit more confident going into them these days than we used to. But I mean, a penalty shoot is a mentality thing. It's not about technique. These are all top level professional footballers. They can score a goal from 12 yards. It's not difficult to do, is it? I mean, we can all do it. But when that pressure's on in that situation, that is what you've got to be able to control. We've never was very good at it before. We've got better. And it seems though the African nations, for whatever reason, still haven't quite got to grips with it. Mentally, maybe. That could be what the issue is. But anyway, it's something that they maybe will learn as time goes on, and maybe they'll become better at them like we have. But at the moment, yeah, I felt confident beforehand on that reason, because of that reason and the fact that we had won our last penalty shootout, and you look through our team and you could kind of see some penalty takers in there, couldn't you? You felt confident would probably score, and as it turned out, four out of five did. So that's, you know, that was great.
Yeah.
But we scraped through. We are through, and I don't think we. I think not playing particularly well and going through is actually a good sign for going forward.
Yeah.
Because we may well not play particularly well in the next game, but we know now we can play badly and still find a way to win. And I think that's important as well. We need to, that could be something that we need to dig into in the next game. Hopefully we'll play better in the next game. Definitely. I don't believe we can play this badly in the quarterfinals and win and go through. I don't believe we can, because the opposition is going to be stronger in the quarterfinals of any tournament. So we're going to have to improve. Serena's got a lot of work to do between now and the weekend to get everybody right, pick the right team selection. I did want to touch on that actually today, because Kira Walsh, she looked like a terrible injury a week or so ago.
She
had to miss the China game. When in the China game, we were a lot more expansive. Kira Walsh comes back in today. I don't think she was fit, personally, to 100% fit.
No.
She didn't really look herself in the games before that, actually, before she got injured anyway, personally for me. But anyway, I don't think she looked fit today. Andres, do you think that we rushed her back too soon into this game, and maybe we should have kept Katie's element for this one and maybe looked at putting Kira back in later in the tournament if he carried on in it?
Yeah, maybe we rushed her in too early. But Kira is one of those key players. If she is fit or says, I'm ready to play, and she has her place in the starting lineup. Maybe she should have needed another match rest or come in later. Problem is if you take Kira out of the match, then England lacks something in midfield. And the opposition teams know this now. It was really new experience for the opponents in the Euros, because she was just fantastic last year, and now they know how to play against her and take her out of the match, and then we struggle. So I wouldn't have started her if she's fit. Then I would have brought her in mid of the second half or for extra time just to get control of the match. Maybe this would have been a good idea, to bring her in extra time when we're down to 10, then to get control over the match again. But Serena made her decision, and I'm sure Kira will start the next match again if there's no problem with her knee. The other thing is the pressure is a little bit lower now. The self-confidence for the team will have grown. They know we are through, we are in the quarterfinal, and that's a good or a normal result. Everybody was expecting us to go through the group stage and to go further through the tournament. But with quarterfinal, or if we reach the semifinal, everybody would have been satisfied with. And so the pressure will be a little bit lower, and the players know, well, we played not our best match. Not to say we were bad, but not our best match. But we won, we are through. And this must give self-confidence against the next opponent, whether it's Colombia or could it be Colombia or Jamaica?
Jamaica, that's right.
It's not the top team of the world. It's a team that we can beat. And yeah, I hope that the confidence will be there to say we did it. We overcame difficult situations against Haiti, against Denmark, and now against Nigeria. We are still in. So let's go on and let's believe in ourselves. Then, yeah, why not? Why not just get the belief in the team? And I hope that Serena will find the solutions that are now necessary, because we will miss Lauren James in midfield. Probably Ella Toon will come in again. And yeah, let's see what Serena has a match plan.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's going to have to be changes in the next game now. We know that because we know Lauren's out. So it is a matter of Serena having to look at the squad. Yeah, Ella Toon would be favourite to come back into the team, you would imagine. But let's see what Serena does at the weekend when we get that game played. I mean, Emma, would you have put Kira straight back in the team today? I wouldn't have changed it actually from the China game, because we played so well. I'd have kept the same team and brought, as Andrea said, I would have brought Kira Walsh on in the second half in the game. I wouldn't have started her today, because I thought that was a risk in the first place. And she looked a little bit off the pace to me. She didn't have a bad game, particularly. No. She just, I don't think she was 100% fit. And I think that maybe was the wrong decision. I mean, would you have started her?
I think all the hype about her coming back so soon was a miracle comeback in many ways. And yeah, it was a bit of a, I mean, it's difficult to leave out such an influential player as England have had, as Kira has been for not just in the last some years, but throughout the time she's been playing for the national side. It's tough to leave her out, but maybe she was rushed back in too soon. I think maybe she could have, we've seen with other players throughout the tournament, notably Alexia Putellas, for example, who's just returned from a serious injury. Her minutes are being managed. So maybe rather than bring her on and play, because she was absolutely out on her feet by the end, maybe her minutes could be managed a bit better and she could have come on in the second half or something. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those where do you start your one of your most influential players and rush them back, or do you just try to manage their minutes? And maybe in the end, in hindsight, we might have been better off doing the latter and managing her minutes better. But she got through it, luckily. And well, I don't know, hard to see her being left out of the quarterfinal, but it'll be interesting to see what Serena does. Obviously, some of her could have played Lauren James, I think, probably be Chloe Kelly or something like that. But then when you look back at it, maybe her minutes could have been managed better. So yeah, I mean, let's see what happened. But yeah, she didn't have a best game like a lot of the rest of the team did. But good to see her back out on the pitch again, I guess.
I mean, it was good that she was fit. Of course it was. A massive boost that she was fit. I just felt as though they should have brought her in a little bit more gently back into it. You know, because as Terry says there, I thought Katie Zellum was unlucky not to play from the start. She was, because she had a great game against China. And she was very unlucky not to play from the start. And I personally wouldn't have made that change. I would have brought Kira off the bench. But anyway, she started. I'm sure she'll start the next game now. I think that's obvious. Unless she gets a reaction to her injury, I'm sure she'll start the quarterfinal and we'll go on from there. David says they're spot on, Andreas. Yeah, well, Andreas is usually spot on. So, you know, it's just part of the course here. That's why we're kind of used to that. LG says there, let's be honest, England's been given the easiest route to the final. Their bracket is not that difficult. Well, today it's not that difficult, but today was quite difficult, wasn't it? So, you know, it's been difficult enough so far. I mean, I'm sure Colombia or Jamaica, whoever it happens to be, probably Colombia, if we're honest, but they look favourites to win that game. And they're going to be a similar team to Nigeria, aren't they? They're strong, powerful, fast. I think they're going to cause us problems as well. So I don't think it's an easy route. Could it have been more difficult? Maybe. I actually feel England playing European teams are better than playing teams from America or from Africa. I think that we're more suited to the European teams. Maybe, although on paper this might look easier, maybe for us, it perhaps isn't easier. We may have been easier getting a couple of European teams, I think. You know, we may not play another European team all the way through to the in the final, even, if the draw works out the way it can be. So I don't know if that's easier for us or not. Certainly on paper, I would agree. It looks as though it is, but that's not... Football's not played on paper, is it? I would prefer it to be Jamaica in the next round because I feel that we would have more chance of beating Jamaica. I think it'll be a tougher game. But let's see what happens in that one. Tomorrow, isn't it, that game? So we'll see.
Yeah, tomorrow morning,
yeah. We'll see what happens there. And hopefully we'll get Jamaica sleep through. Like, there's been a few shock results.
I think it'll be Colombia, but we'll see.
Yeah, I agree. I think it will be Colombia. I'll be surprised if it isn't. And we'll have to be ready to play whoever we play. But yeah, we're through, and that's the most important thing. Because as we've seen since Saturday when the knockout started, not everybody who's expected to go through has gone through, have they? So, you know, we have to be grateful. I mean, Andreas, what have we made then of this this knockout phase so far? Because there's been a couple of shock results, shall we say, a couple of predictable results. But it's been quite interesting, hasn't it? A couple of penalty shootouts, some extra time, and a few dramatic moments as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, the whole tournament is really exciting and shows the development in women's football. And you can't say that we have an easy way because the teams we are playing, they have knocked out teams like Brazil or Germany. So they are not weak teams. Maybe it's not the big names, but the teams must be good. Otherwise, they would have been out in group stage. If you see, USA is out now. They were lucky to go through the group stage.
Very lucky.
You remember the Portugal match? And now they were the better team against Sweden, but they lost the penalties. Yeah, so the title holders are out. We saw brilliant performance by Japan in group stage. The longer the tournament goes, Japan will need to create chances by itself or to dominate a match. They were always the underdog and had the chance to counterattack and use their pace and everything. But now, if they have to make the match or to dominate, how this works, I don't think that Sweden will do much. They will let the ball to the Japanese and try to counterattack by themselves and try with set pieces, corners, etc. So let's see how Japan will play then. So far, it was the best performance from them through all the matches. And I'm surprised by the Netherlands. They had a lot of problems last year, but maybe the new coach Andries Jonker does a good job there. I think they play very good, and yeah, they deserve their win against South Africa. One bad match against Japan with 80% ball possession and losing 4-0, but now they are back on track. Against Switzerland was very impressive. This will be a really tough match. Spain versus Netherlands.
I know what you're trying to say.
Yeah. For me, Spain and Japan are the two of the favorites for this tournament now. And Australia is back on track after one bad match in the group stage. Stan Kerr came in after 80 minutes now, so I think she will be ready for the quarterfinals, probably against France, but you never know.
Are you taking Morocco for chance then?
I would say Morocco is the weakest team in the last 16, but this tournament has shown that you can't say the big ones, the small ones. That's the good development, that even the small teams, which you think they can be lucky that they are in the tournament and get some experience, but of course they will lose every match. no, this is no longer happening. The gap has closed, and this is what makes this tournament so exciting.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, I think I was a little bit concerned because obviously there's more teams in it this time, so it means there's more smaller nations, if you like. And I was worried that maybe we were going to... I mean, yeah, we've seen a few big victories, haven't we? I mean, we had one against China, for example. But overall, you're right. The gap has closed and you can't really take any game for granted. And especially now in the knockout stage, you know, any game can go either way, as we've seen already so far. So, yeah, it makes it an exciting tournament. And I think it just goes to show the way the women's game has improved over the last few years. Look at the last two World Cups. And this World Cup now, you can see the progression in each one, can't you? The quality, the standard, the fitness, everything is just so much better from everybody. So that's great to see. And I say the smaller, if you like, smaller nations are massively, massively improving. And you can see that quite clearly in this World Cup. And that has been a very, very positive positive side of this World Cup, definitely, without a shadow of a doubt, it has been. And yeah, hopefully it continues because it would be great. But... But no, there's been some big games, some good games in this knockout stage. I mean, Emma, what have you made of the knockout stage so far? Because obviously we loved America getting knocked out, didn't we? Let's be honest, we all enjoyed that, didn't we?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, well, they were so dominant. But Musovic put in arguably one of the greatest performances I've ever seen by a goalkeeper at the tournament. 11 saves, all with summer saves, were absolutely outstanding. Denied Lindsay Horan, Horan was a good one. Save from Alex Morgan was absolutely world class. I think that was one of the most dramatic shoots I've ever seen. I thought when Lina hurt it, I thought, there's a ball cross the line. And then by the barest of margins, like we got through today, it turned across the line. So, you know, and the celebration by the end was just, honestly, it was just like, it made the hairs on the back of the neck stand up. It was like everything that happened there. And then, as you say, I've been quietly, I think Japan have been the team of the tournament for me so far. They've quietly gone about their business and conceded one goal. Even that was a header from across. But the player, I can't remember what her name was, Mia Zarta, I think her name is. She's looked really top impressive.
She's a top scorer, isn't she?
Five goals, and the whole team has looked balanced. Hasegawa has been really impressive. All their attackers have been really good, and they've been a standout for me. And Sweden will have to. They can't expect the Japan not to be as clinical as the USA when Rajan Musovic to bail them out in the quarterfinal there. Otherwise, I think there's only one winner there, but. Who knows? I mean, as we said, this has been the World Cup of shocks, and New World Order has well and truly disrupted the current order. And four of the five teams to ever won the Women's World Cup would not even make it past the round of 16. So, I mean, it just goes to show they're going to be. I think also, I'd say Spain have been impressive when you think the way they bounced back from Japan. And totally, has to be said, Switzerland were played into their hands a little bit, but it just goes to show the quality they've got. And, I think if one of those two teams could well reach the final, of course, they can beat in the semis. And as Andreas mentioned, Dutch have been going about their business. Okay, South Africa had their chances, but no, they've looked quite impressive. Although Daniel van der Donk will be a big miss for them in that semi-final against Spain. So, I mean, let's see what happens. It's been a World Cup that few have predicted, and who knows? I mean, and we've got two more games tomorrow, so... Don't be surprised if there's one or two more surprises along the way, let's say.
I wouldn't be surprised at all the way this World Cup's going. It's so unpredictable, isn't it? That you never know what's going to happen. I mean, obviously, you mentioned, Djokovic's performance yesterday for Sweden, which was incredible. But I thought Van Domselaar for Holland as well. She was great. Wasn't
she?
She had a really good performance as well. I remember saying, we saw Holland play in the Euros last year a couple of times. And Daphne van Domselaar was in goal for them. And I remember saying at the time, I wanted Arsenal to sign her because I thought she looked a very, very good goalkeeper. And she's proven it again. And she's now in the WSL, isn't she, for this season, playing for Aston Villa. And I mean, I love Sabrina. I think she's going to be a great goalkeeper for us. And obviously, Zinny's done well for a number of years for us. But I think we've missed a trick with van Domselaar because I do think she's a very, very good goalkeeper. I really do. I think she's one of the best goalkeepers in the world. And I think Aston Villa have got, actually clearly would have been open to a move to the WSL. I'm sure she would have come to Arsenal if we'd put a bid in to get her. I'm sure she would have done. But, you know, I think we trust Jonas. He brought Sabrina. She's a great goalkeeper, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I just think Domselaar better and would have been great to have had her. But anyway, you know, good goalkeepers. We said a few weeks ago, didn't we, that the standard of goalkeeping in women's football generally has improved a lot, hasn't it? I know we've seen a couple of howlers as well. The Chinese goalkeeper the other day, for example, and the South African goalkeeper. Threw one in her net, didn't she? But overall, the standard of goalkeeping has been great. And now I say there's so many good goalkeepers, isn't there, at this World Cup. It's great to see, isn't it? You know, Mary Earps obviously is one of the best as well, isn't she? So we're fortunate that we've got such a great goalkeeper playing for us. But yeah, that's been a feature of this World Cup as well, I think, that the standard of the goalkeeping has been brilliant overall. So it has been great. So yeah, that's another positive. But yeah, we've still got some more last 16 ties to come, haven't we? And hopefully, you know, we'll see a couple more good games and we'll find out who our opponents are going to be, of course. Is that game on Saturday, did you say, Andreas? It is Saturday, isn't it, that we're playing?
Saturday, 11:30.
Yeah. So that's going to be good, isn't it?
Sorry.
So, I mean, let's hope that whoever we play better in that game than we play today.
Yeah, sure.
I think we're going to have to, aren't we? Because I don't think we'll get as lucky twice in a row. I don't think that happens in World Cup knockouts either, generally. LG says there again, watching Holland v South Africa, I felt like all the that made were shots.
All that,
was a bit over. I don't know. Some of them were straight out. Yes, they were. But I thought she made some good saves as well in between all of that. And not just in this game, yes. In previous games as well, I think she's a great goalkeeper. And I thought she played well yesterday. At the end of the day, you know, you saw with Holland's second goal, a shot can be straight out of goalkeeper. It doesn't mean they're going to save it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. They've still got to save their ones as well, haven't they? And, you know, Daphne Van Domselaar saved all them as well. So, you know, I think that she had a great performance and I think she had a great World Cup and there's been two or three other great goalkeepers. So, yeah. But, yeah, maybe some of the saves were easy, but I say you have to still have to save them. You do still have to save them.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's give her credit for that performance. But, yeah. Yeah, South Africa, again, a bit unfortunate, wasn't they? They had a few chances. Yeah. They could have easily have gone through that game. So, but I agree with Andreas. I think Holland have got some very, they always have done, they've got some very good individual players, haven't they? But they haven't always gelled as a team. And I think this time, they seem to be gelling more as a team, don't they, in this World Cup than previously. You know, they're missing Viv, obviously, as we know, and, you know what a great player she is. But in a way, they've had to adapt, haven't they, to that? And they've maybe played more as a team now. And, you know, they're doing well. So we'll see how they get on. Of course, in their quarterfinal, it's going to be interesting. That's going to be an interesting game, isn't it? And I actually think
it's funny when you see the style of football they were playing under Mark Parsons last year, and then you put it's funny when German managers they always have efficiency around them. He just flicked a switch and he just got them all playing he's got them onside and they seem to be onside with the style of football he wants to play. And it's funny what changing a manager like that does in a way, doesn't it? So,
exactly. Yeah. I mean that's why managers are so important, aren't they? Because a different manager can make a massive difference to the same group of players. You see it all the time, don't you, in football? So, yeah, so they're looking a threat. And I actually feel Sweden have got a good chance against Japan simply because Sweden have got a big threat from set pieces, haven't they? And I think that's Japan's weakness. And I think if Sweden get a lot of corners and free kicks, you know, we know our very own Amanda's going to pop up with a goal or two likely, isn't she?
So, she's going to get the golden boot.
She's not far off, is she? She's only two behind. That Japanese one who's got five. So, you know, but yeah, I think Sweden have got a chance to beat Japan on that basis. If I was Sweden's coach, I'd be saying to Sweden, try and win as many corners as you can, get as many set pieces as you can, and get that ball in the box at every opportunity because they've got the players to cause them problems. You're probably not going to be able to play football for them because they're very, very strong in that sense, but they're not so physical, are they? And they're not very tall for a lot of them. So I think Sweden could beat them, actually. But we'll see what happens. And it's going to be some interesting quarterfinals anyway, there's no doubt about that. It's going to be some great football, and Spain of course look good, don't they? Let's be honest, Spain look good. I think they purposely lost to Japan so they would get what looked on paper to be a slightly easier route. I think they did. I'm not saying they wanted to lose 4-0, but I don't think they were that bothered about losing that game because they looked at the draw and thought coming second might be better. And you know, I'm not saying that it, you know, Holland could easily beat them as well, but we'll see how that goes. LG says, I feel bad for the South African goalkeeper, Kaylin Spaart. She's been heavily criticised during the tournament. She's had a very good game until the error. unfortunately, that one moment undoes it. But yeah, you're right. That's the life of a goalkeeper, though, isn't it? You know, the goalkeeper can have the greatest game of their life. They can save everything, and then they let in a soft goal at the end. Your team loses, and your goalkeeper's always going to be remembered for that one mistake, aren't they? That's why goal. I mean, you know, everyone says that their goalkeeper's a little bit mad, and they're maybe slightly different mentality to outfield players. And I think you have to be for that reason, because you know one mistake could cost your team a game, no matter how well you play. No one's going to remember all your brilliant saves, are they, when you let one through your legs in the last minute, or throw one in your net, or come for a cross and miss it, or drop the ball. That's what everyone remembers that, don't they? So, yeah, it's tough as a goalkeeper. It is tough. And you're right. I mean, you've got to feel sorry for any goalkeeper that makes such a big mistake like that. Yeah. A big game that's so costly for your team. And you're right. I mean, she had played pretty well, I thought, in that game as well. It wasn't just, but like you said, that's all people remember, don't they? And that is the life of a goalkeeper. So, yeah.
It is, yeah.
So you need a goalkeeper, don't they?
If Sweden lost in 120th minute against USA by a mistake from Zofia Muzovic, then nobody would have remembered how fantastic she was. 100.
Yeah.
Everybody would say she lost the match. So
that's
a normal situation for goalkeeper. But just look at the goalkeeper situation at Chelsea. They have Berger from Germany, Muzovic from Sweden, Evrard from Belgium, and Hannah Hansen, who came from Villa.
They're not all going to be a player, are they?
Hansen's going to be sent out on loan, though, but it'll be interesting to see. I'll put Vucevic as number one. Berger's been good, but I don't know. She has the odd mistake in her.
Yeah, she's not as good as she was a couple of years ago, is she? I don't think now. I think she's reaching the end of her career, isn't she? So, yeah, they're looking at replacing her. But yeah, they've got some good goalkeepers, haven't they? But you're absolutely right. That's why it's so hard being a goalkeeper, isn't it? Because it doesn't matter what you do. With a striker, you can miss three or four chances and you score a last-minute winner and you're the hero. Everyone loves you. Yeah. And everyone forgets that you missed all those chances before.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the opposite way around the goalkeeper, isn't it? It's the opposite way around. Position to... I never try to criticise goalkeepers too much because it is a tough job. And it's the concentration needed for a whole game because you can't let your concentration sit for a second. When you're out on pitch, you can switch off for 2 seconds. You can make a mistake and you've got another player, two players can help you out, get you out of trouble by winning the ball back or making a block. You're a goalkeeper, you make a mistake, your concentration goes for a second, then it's going to be costly for your team.
Yeah.
I don't like to see goalkeepers criticised too much because it's a tough gig and fair play to them for doing it because... of that reason, they deserve a lot of credit for what they do, goalkeepers. But yeah, I think this tournament's been good for goalkeepers overall. So let's not focus too much on mistakes because I think we've seen a lot of really good goalkeeping performances, especially in the last couple of days. So let's praise the goalkeepers and let's rejoice in how good they've been and how much they've improved. And hopefully that will continue in the future because that's been the one. The one big criticism, I think, of women's football has always been the goalkeepers, wasn't it, for a long, long time.
Mm.
And now I don't think you can say the same. I think that really has improved. So they need to get a lot of credit for that. So England are through. Just a bit fortunate. But, you need to win any tournament, you need a bit of luck. You know, we got a little bit in the Euros last year in a game against Spain in particular. You know, we got a little bit lucky there. And I think sometimes you need some luck to win. Every single team that's ever won a tournament has had some luck along the way. You know, we've had our luck today. We rode our luck and we came out on top. And let's hope that now we can push on from here, improve for the next game. We have to improve, don't we, let's be honest. And let's see if we can just grow as hopefully we get another three games to come in this.
Yeah, that would be nice, yeah.
But so we do need to play a lot better than we did today. Let's see what happens. But yeah, it was a tense old game, wasn't it? It was nervy. And
it wasn't good for the heart rate, let me tell you. It's not good for the heart rate.
it's not ideal. We certainly don't want penalties in the next round as well, do we?
We think Colombia, then possibly Australia or France, and then Japan. But let's take it one step at a time. One step at a time.
Mm.
Well, it could be Sweden, couldn't it? England, Sweden, final be quite good. Isn't it? After the England, Sweden, final. I've quite
enjoyed
it. We'd have a few players, wouldn't we? Russo playing, Steiner playing, Amanda playing, potentially Lena Hurtig coming off the bench. So, you know, we'd have quite a lot of interest in that final, wouldn't we? So that would be quite good. But let's just say England have got a tough game to come, and we need to overcome that first before we can start even thinking about a final. That was the last thing on my mind for most of today's game, the potential of England being in the final. I didn't even think we'd be in a quarterfinal.
So I thought we were going to be out as well. I did fear. Yeah, I feared it all draw, but there you go.
Yeah, I thought we were going out today, definitely. But we hung in there. And, you know, Serena seemed a little bit, I don't know, she seemed quite pleased with that side of our game today, didn't she? The way that we stuck together and we saw it through. And I think you've got to be pleased with that, because that was the one thing that we had to do. And the rest of it wasn't great, let's be honest, it wasn't. But so, yeah, Serena's got a lot of work to do in the next few days. And let's hope she gets it right, team selection right. Who's going to replace Lauren James? Would you go Ella Toon then, Andreas, in place of Lauren James against Colombia?
Yeah, I think Ella Toon is the normal substitute for Lauren James. But yeah, you could also say Kira Walsh is back at number six position. So maybe Georgia Stanway can play the number 10 role and yeah, bring in Katie Salem maybe again, or Murat Booms. I don't know. It's
it's a tough one. Yeah,
it's a difficult decision, and that's why we have a professional manager and coach who has to decide. And fortunately, I don't have to. Easier to match, not to be in the responsibility to decide.
No, exactly, and maybe a little bit. It might come down to who we're playing against as well. Because, you know, obviously Serena and her team will watch the opposition that we're going to be playing, and they'll have to come up with a game plan to suit that opposition, isn't it? And it may well be that if we play Jamaica, it might be Chloe Kelly that comes in, for example. If we're playing Colombia, it might be Katie Zellum who's going to maybe keep the ball a bit better. So, you know, it could depend on who we play. But, yeah, it does seem Ella Toon does seem the most likely one to come in, you would imagine, but who knows? And who would you go with?
I was actually thinking it should be Chloe Kelly, because you know how well she linked up with Lauren Hemp so many times in the past at Manchester City. So I don't know. It's a difficult one, but I know Ella Toon, people say she's been out for, maybe she deserves a shout, but honestly, I think Chloe Kelly, she just has that ability to change a game when she's on the pitch, and she works so well with him. But I mean, it depends what Serena wants, really. It's going to be difficult, but if I had to go with her, I'd probably go with Kelly. But I mean, it's a really difficult decision for the manager to have. But it's a good headache to have, but also at the same time, it's difficult. But whatever decision change I'm making, we'll stand by her, and hopefully it'll pay off.
Yeah, I mean, it is a tough decision, but I suppose that's one of the advantages of having a strong squad, isn't it? That there's options.
Yeah.
And it's not just one player you can bring in. You've got two or three different options that we've got, and that's a good sign for the squad. But, yeah, Serena's got to pick the right one that's going to do the job. Terry says, Zellum for me, Toon hasn't played well for a while. No, she hasn't played well for a while, you're right. But Ella Toon has got the ability to make something happen in a big game, hasn't she? We've seen that in the Euros. We've seen it plenty of other times. So, I don't know. It is a tough one. Katie Zellum, for me, would keep possession of the ball better for the team. That's what she's good at, getting the ball and keeping it. Whereas Chloe Kelly, Ella Toon, they're players who want to dribble with the ball. They want to try and make things happen. And in those, they're the sort of players that can lose the ball as well. And then you turn over possession. And we saw today, losing possession caused us some big moments in that game, didn't it? So it is a tough one. Let's see what Serena comes up with. But it's funny, because last summer we didn't have to talk about team selection because we knew what the team was going to be. It was the same every single week. Now, in this World Cup, it's like it could be anybody can play, really, because she's made so many changes. Some she's had to make, of course. There's been injuries. There's been now suspension and stuff. So. But yeah, it's interesting now, isn't it, to think of what the lineup might be in that game. But I say it might come down to who we play, who gets through tomorrow, and then we'll have to see. Terry says, lost Ruben Moy all the way. Yeah, well, Jess Carter's come in and got that place pretty much.
He's been brilliant, Jess Carter, as well.
You know, I can't see Lotta getting any game time again, barring some sort of injuries that might happen in the next game or so. But it's a shame. I agree she should get an opportunity because she deserves one, but I can't see it happening, to be honest. I don't know what's going on there with her and Serena, but anyway, I say Jess Carter's got that spot at the moment pretty well sewn up, and yeah, she's done well, so you wouldn't change that, would you, if you didn't have to. So that seems fair enough, I guess. We probably argue with it too much as well. But it's a shame for Lotta because she never seems to get on for England at all, does she? Yeah. I can't remember the last time she even played for England. She's in the squad quite a lot, sits on the bench, never comes on. I really don't understand it, but I guess some players do that, don't they, go to tournaments to play? She could win a Euros and a World Cup in the squad and not play a minute of either tournament. That'd be probably the first player to do that, I would imagine. Not apart from maybe a substitute goalkeeper may have done as well, but there won't be too many players, will there? An outfield player that's been in two winning squads in a row and not been on the pitch. But maybe she'll come on in the final, who knows? Maybe injuries like that, she'll get a chance, who knows? But as things stand, I can't see her playing, unfortunately.
No.
Anyway, we keep winning. I don't mind too much. If we keep winning, we'll take the team that gets selected. And if Lotta's not playing, she's not playing, we'll have to accept it, really. I mean, again, today, I know Russo didn't really get in that game, did she? That one big chance. You know, we're not creating the opportunities for her, really, are we? Again, you know, she did as much as she could do. She worked really hard, didn't she, actually? Mm. Really, really worked hard. But she never got the service. Just that one opportunity, she maybe rushed it, didn't she? She could have been a little bit more composed in that situation and she would have probably scored. To be honest, never rated Carter, but she's been very good.
Superb.
She has been very good, yeah. But it wasn't Russo's day again, was it, Andreas, today, unfortunately?
Yeah, it reminds me a bit on Stina's situation in January, February. Working hard for the team, but not being served as well. She needs more service from crosses or set pieces or something, or the long ball where she can make the run with her pace.
Yeah.
So all she can do is try to work hard. She drops deeper to get more involved in the match. You see that she wants to get the ball, wants to help the team. But if she drops deeper, then we miss her in the box. It's difficult for a number nine in such matches. I think she does her best, or she tries her best, and we can't criticize her for playing bad. It's okay. The performance is okay. Yeah. And I mean, she scored one goal, and if she will score the decisive goal in quarterfinal or semifinal, we will all be happy with her.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we're happy with her anyway. I think we all maybe hope she might score a few more goals than she has done, but a lot of that reason is because the chances aren't there. You know, no. When she gets one chance a game, she's maybe snatching that a little bit because she's not getting lots of chances, is she? So, yeah, I don't blame her for that at all, actually. I think she's working really, really hard. And yeah, it maybe has got a sort of Stina vibe, hasn't it, about it a little bit. And then, you know, she got an important goal. It turned it around for her, didn't it? And she was scoring loads after that. And maybe that's what Russo needs. She needs a goal in the quarterfinal, and then she'll probably get the winner in the final. And everyone will, she'll be the hero. She'll come to Arsenal at the start of the season, the hero, actually, scored the winning goal in the World Cup final. Let's hope so. But yeah, she's been playing as well as she can play in the way the games are gone. And I say, you can't criticise her work rate, except for her work rate. She's just working so hard, isn't she, for the team. And it's almost like you feel that she deserves to get some more goals, doesn't she, for the work she's putting in. She deserves a goal or two. She deserves some better quality balls into the box for her. She deserves better service, but
definitely.
Hopefully it'll come next game, we'll have to see. David says that Greenwood's been England's best player.
I think she's been pretty good.
Been good. Yeah, she has been good. You're
very,
right.
Very good.
She has been
good.
I think she's been very good, yeah. Yeah. Again, another player who's... She didn't play that much in the Euro, did she? She came off the bench a few times and, you know, made a bit of an impact here and there. But, yeah, she's had a great World Cup. You're right, absolutely, she's been good. I think defensively, England haven't been too bad. We're not ready to see the one. So, you know, defensively we've been solid. It's just we're lacking that little bit of spark in the final third.
Exactly. That's a few right spark, yeah.
Apart from China, obviously. Russo needs Mido, Ford, Kalova, Catley, Laura and the rest of the Guna girls. Yes, yeah, well, I'm sure we'll see a different Russo playing for Arsenal next season.
No,
I don't have any doubt about that. But, I've been pleased with what I've seen from Russo in this World Cup. She just hasn't been given the supply, and what can you do as a striker? You know, if you don't get the chances, you can't score. And she scored one. She's missed a couple of chances that she's maybe rushed a little bit to base. She could have scored, but yeah, she's playing well. I'm not going to criticise her at all. I think she's doing all right. So let's hope the quarterfinals are a day. Let's hope Saturday's her day to shine. And it's Russo that leads England on to the semi-final and bangs in the goals that matter. That's the important fight scene. It's what we need her to do. So, yeah, we can be happy, can't we, at the moment? We're still in the World Cup, just. It was a tough one today, but we got through. And we move on to Saturday. We'll find out tomorrow we're playing. It's going to be good. It's going to be exciting, I'm sure. It's going to be an interesting rest of this World Cup, isn't it? Hopefully we're going to be in it a bit longer, a couple of weeks left, so let's hope we're going all the way. But I'm not quite as confident tonight as I was the other night after the China game when we played so well. I'm not quite as confident, but when, as we said before, if you win and you don't play well, it's got to be a good sign, because I'm sure we'll play better on Saturday. I'm sure we'll play better than we did today, and if we do, hopefully we'll get a result and it'll be another semi-final. That would be, what, five in a row, wouldn't it? Five semi-finals in a row, I think.
Yeah, was it 15, 17, 19, 22, 23? Yes, it would, yeah.
Yeah, so that, which would be a great record, wouldn't it? You know, if we can do it. But, yeah, we'll have a tough game Saturday, but let's see how we get on. But, yeah, we got through. I'm sure there's a lot of other teams in the World Cup that would love to be in the quarterfinals that haven't made it. America, sorry to say. And a few others.
Germany's great to say. Brazil, sorry to say.
Norway. Brazil, some big names out. So, you know, we've got to be pleased that we're still in the final. And hopefully we can last a bit longer. And who knows? Maybe it's just luck on our side. Maybe this is what's going to happen now.
Maybe it's just like it was scripted for us to win, isn't it? But we'll see,
Maybe it is. We'll have to see. But, yeah, I want to see. We need a reaction on Saturday. We need a better performance. And let's hope we get one. And if we do, I think we can win whoever we play. But we'll find out tomorrow who that's going to be. Good stuff. So that is that. In England made it through on penalties. Penalty shootouts. Well, we can do them now. We're fine. We don't need to worry about penalty shootouts anymore. We've got a hang of it now. It's all right. We'll have some more penalties in the next round. We're not bothered. But let's hope not. But so England have made it through to the quarterfinal. Difficult game, but what we did it. And we'll be back on Saturday to look back on the quarterfinal, where hopefully, again, we're talking about an England victory, because we've had a few so far in this World Cup. We want to see a few more. So let's hope so. Let's have a look and see. Terry says, important question. What ground do you think we will win the WSL?
Okay, it's confident.
We play Manchester City quite late in the season, aren't we? Maybe we'll win it there.
Last game is against Brighton, so I don't know. It might be in Meadow Park again. Who knows?
Yeah, it could be, yeah. Well, I don't care where we win it. As long as we win it, it doesn't matter what ground we win it. It doesn't matter, does it?
Let's make sure we think about getting into the Champions League. That's going to be the first thing on Jonas's mind once the World Cup's done. So, I mean,
Well, he needs to get a couple of signings through the door as well. We're still a couple short.
Yeah, he's done well so far, but a couple more.
A couple more I think we need. And if we get a couple more in, particularly defensive midfield area, then I'm sure we'll have a great chance of winning the league. And we'll be as good as anybody. I'm sure we will. We've got some goals in that team anyway. There's no doubt about that this season, haven't we? I'm sure we're going to score a lot of goals. So let's just hope that's enough to win us enough games. But we'll worry about the WSL season when the World Cup's finished, or certainly when once England have gone out. At one point, hopefully after the final, but we'll see. England are through, and we look forward to Saturday. We'll be back for that one. Don't forget, on Wednesday night, we've got our Arsenal review show for the men's team, looking back on yesterday's Community Shield. Another penalty shootout victory. You see, it's all right. Fine. Don't worry about penalties. They're fine. We love them. So we'll be looking back on that one on Wednesday, looking ahead, of course, to the Nottingham Forest game on the weekend, the start of the Premier League season. Is here already? Wow, the World Cup going on and the Premier League starting as well. It's all that, isn't it? So that's on Wednesday, 8 o'clock. So join us for that. Then, obviously, I'll be back on Saturday for looking back on the England game. And we've got the what time does Nottingham Forest game kick off again?
That's 12:30. 12:30 is during what? So England game kicks off at 11:30, and then Arsenal Forest game is 12:30.
It's not, is it?
Oh, it is a clash, I'm afraid. Richard. It is, I'm afraid.
Oh, it is, yeah.
It's annoying. It's annoying.
Oh, that is more than annoying. Oh, no way.
It is, I'm afraid, yeah. I can't switch. Yeah, I know. I found that annoying. Oh,
I mean, what can you do? It's just no good, is it, really? But anyway.
Split screen, Richard.
But we'll just get we'll do what we can and try and get through both of the games if we can on Saturday. Yeah. But we'll be back Saturday evening anyway to look back on the England game one way or the other, whether it's a win or a loss. And there'll be some more great stuff coming up on the channel anyway. So at least we get Sunday off, I suppose. But anyway, yeah, so that's all coming up. So join us Wednesday for the Arsenal review. And then I say we'll be back Saturday for England in the quarterfinal of the World Cup, which is good, isn't it? So, yeah, it's been a tense old day, but we got there. We got through it in the end. It was, you know, it was nervy. It was exciting. And we got the result, which is great. I mean, Andreas, have you enjoyed the show tonight?
Yeah, of course I did. It was great to talk with you. And, yeah, great to talk after a one match, after such a nervy match. And I couldn't watch it live. Only the live ticker. It's more nervy than watching it. If you yeah. on watching on your smartphone, waiting for the next message, and especially in shootout, waiting for the come on. I don't need this again. So please make an easier win.
Yes, it would be nice, wouldn't it? An easier win would be nice. I mean, I was lucky that I started work a bit later today, but I missed some of extra time because I was driving to work, and then I had to. Luckily, I could watch the penalty shootout at work, which was different. It was good. Obviously, we won, so that was all right. But yeah, these kickoff times aren't really very good, are they, for us? Let's be honest, in Europe, they're not really suited for us, are they? We're having to do the best that we can to get through it, and you know, we're watching what we can. And yeah, it's not ideal, but it is what it is. We just have to get on with it. And yeah, let's hope that at least Saturday's a little bit better kickoff time. It is a weekend as well.
So 11:30, yeah.
So let's hope that works out well. I mean, Amar, good to see you again. Have you enjoyed being on the show?
Yeah, it's good to talk about what we do love the most. Yeah, good to dissect it as ever. And well, we're through. It's always good when we're through. I was able to watch it as well. I worked most of it, despite trying to get ready and do all the usual stuff. But yeah, Saturday I'll be make sure. I'll be there for the 11:30 when we face. I think it'll be Colombia, but who knows? In this World Cup shocks, we don't know what to expect. No. So, I mean, it'll be whatever, whoever will be, will certainly have to play better. And hopefully we'll learn from this and get stronger as the tournament goes on. So, no, it's been really good. And hopefully we'll more of the same one in 5 days' time.
Yeah, well, more of the same in terms of the result, not necessarily the although we're doing well at penalties at the minute, we don't really want to keep that into Terry says, great show, Richard, man of mystery, Andreas, and the one and only Amar. And cheers, Terry, again, as always, for watching everybody else as well. And don't forget to give us a like before you go. So join us on Wednesday for the Arsenal review. That's going to be, you know, Arsenal men have won the Community Shield. We've got a trophy on the board already. So that's the first of many this season, I'm sure. So we're looking back at that. Not in a forest at the weekend. A stupid kickoff time. But anyway, we'll have to deal with it. So yeah, lots coming up on the channel. So please stay with us and subscribe and like and everything else. Thanks to Andreas, of course, as always. Thanks to Amar as well. Hopefully we can get Matt on as well before too long, before the World Cup's out. I'm sure we'll get Matt on at some stage. Maybe he might be available Saturday, mightn't he? So we'll have to have a look and see. Terry says, come on, you England Lionesses. Come on, you Gunners and Gooner Girls. Indeed, yeah. We've got loads of people to get cheer behind, haven't we? So let's hope everybody keeps winning. That's what we want to see. So, yeah, thanks to everyone for watching. I say thanks to Andreas. Thanks to Amar, as always. And thanks to all you guys for watching. Give us a like and subscribe. We will see you Wednesday and, of course, Saturday as well. England in the quarterfinals of the World Cup. It's looking good, isn't it? Can we go all the way again? Come on, England. Let's do it. Come on. See you later, guys. Take it easy. And thanks to Pete Drake for the music on our introduction as well.
Okay, guys. Lionesses, you come so far. But don't forget who you are. Your roots are yours, but also ours. Giving hope to rising stars. Lionesses, here.